Welcome to the EduGals podcast. We are your co-hosts, Rachel Johnson
and Katie Atwell. We are here to bring you tips and tricks to help you integrate technology into your classroom.
In this episode, Katie and I are sharing our favorite keyboard shortcuts for Google Workspace and Screencastify.
Yes, we're going to show you how you can save time and a little bit of sanity as you are going through this crazy school year.
Let's get started. We are going to start off with some news and updates from the Twitterverse and beyond.
So the first piece of news that we are going to be talking about today is a new Screencastify feature again. So what they have done is they have changed their toolbar, and I really like the changes. So now you can move it anywhere on the screen. You can add stickers, emojis, and shapes, which Rachel can speak to because she has now tried it out. Rachel, explain.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's so much fun. So when you start recording, I was playing around with this yesterday a little bit, and you click on the stickers, it brings it up as your mouse, but then you can kind of navigate to a spot on your screen and then you can click on it and it drops the sticker right there for you. So there's about like 6 or 7 stickers available right now, pretty much kind of the common ones, right? But super, super cool.
The next one is animated fireworks, which I'm watching their little GIF and like totally fun.
I've totally set my mouse on this setting now. So you'll find it under the mouse settings. And instead of just the typical like red circle click or the spotlight click, you can turn on fireworks, and every time you click, it shows fireworks. It's so cool. It's so fun.
And then the last one is you can easily stop and start your webcam. This is kind of neat. Look at Screencastify. 2 weeks in a row where we have updates from them.
I also really like the new toolbar as well, because you can collapse it down into a really, really small sort of thing in the corner of your window. So you don't necessarily need to close the drawing tools now in that toolbar. You can just collapse it, and it pretty much stays out of the way on your screen, and then you can just pull it up whenever you need it.
That is a very welcome change.
Yeah, it's a lot less obtrusive like on your screen as well. The other one that they added on there is being able to draw a rectangle around something. So it's not in their tweet specifically, but I was playing around that with that a little bit yesterday too. And you could draw a rectangle around something that maybe you're emphasizing. So I really like that feature as well.
Yeah, so lots of great features. We will be sure to share that tweet and any of the links there in our show notes. And to find that, you can go to edugals.com/44. The next piece of news I get very excited about, because all things literacy and ESL and supporting learners, that's kind of up my alley. So I am sharing a tweet from Valentina Gonzalez. So she is an ESL educator down in the United States. And what she has done is she has shared a visual, which really is just best practices for teaching, but with the added focus of literacy. So what many teachers don't realize is we are all English teachers. We are all teaching language. We're all teaching literacy. It's just, you know, to do with our content area. So what she does in this visual is she lays out 8 suggestions for how we can really embrace and create the best environment for our students.
I really like this. It's, well, one, it's a beautiful visual, so you got to give her that. It almost looks like a bit of a sketch note, so I don't know how she put that together, but we'll leave it there. Katie showed me this just before we started recording, and my initial thought is, well, these are just all great practices for teaching. Like, it's not necessarily about developing literacy, but thinking about equity, right? And thinking about their suggestions about offering texts that accurately reflect students, and providing book choices in many languages, and providing explicit instruction using authentic texts. those are all equity pieces that we really want to be considering no matter what course we teach. So to me, these are just really great suggestions for good teaching.
So reading aloud often to students from various genres, like in a science class, for example, you probably do read aloud quite a bit because some students won't know how to pronounce some of the terms. And so I think that it kind of lends itself naturally to many different, well, all different content areas, whether it be history, geography, etc. So just knowing that, you know, when I read aloud to students, I'm actually helping them to develop literacy. Like maybe just acknowledging that and realizing that will kind of help you recognize how important it is.
So we'll be sure to include all of the links and resources that we've talked about here today in our news, in our show notes. And you can find our show notes at edugals.com/44. That's edugals.com/44.
And now onto our featured content.
This week, Katie and I are bringing you our favorite keyboard shortcuts, mostly in Google Workspace because that's where we live most of the time. But we're also going to touch on some keyboard shortcuts in Screencastify as well because, you know, why not?
Yeah, we thought we'd really share some of these that we find helpful and maybe some that you don't really realize or are familiar with because it really does help save us a lot of time. So any sort of time savings in a year like this, I think it goes a long way.
And I think we've talked about this before too, right? It seems silly to save like fractions of a second, but they really do add up.
Especially if you look over the course of a school year, a fraction of a second every time. Yes, please, I'll take that. So to get started, what I think is a good starting place is to kind of go into a Google Doc or go into a slide. And then one keyboard shortcut that you will find quite helpful is to hit Command and forward slash. I always get those mixed up.
Well, the way you remember it, right, is the forward slash is pointing forward. The backslash is pointing backwards.
Yes, but then I think of like that road sign that's yellow and black where it's actually opposite to what we would normally think. And then I'm like, are the slashes the same? Yeah, anyhow, I digress.
Well, and I'm going to digress a little bit further because I'm thinking purely from reading from left to right, right? And there's lots of cultures in that out there that read left or right to left. Sorry, I'm even going backwards, right? And it's messing with my brain. Yeah, so I guess maybe a more appropriate way of saying it is the forward slash is the one pointing to the right and the backslash is the one pointing to the left. Anyway, that is total digression there.
I think of it as the forward is the one that starts lower on the left-hand side and then goes up. I don't know.
Feel free to weigh in on the debate on our Flipgrid.
Yeah. Anyhow, so that command forward slash opens a whole list of keyboard shortcuts that are available.
Now, probably important for us to point out that we're both on Macs, so we're going to say command a lot. And if you're working on a PC, then whenever we say command on a PC, it's control.
Yeah, I was actually going through a momentary panic thinking, wait, I don't have a Windows computer right now. What do all of these look like on a PC? But you're right.
Yeah. And then to kind of confuse it even more, Macs have a command and a control key. So it's, yeah, there are some keyboard shortcuts that use both of those two on a Mac, which makes it a little bit confusing.
But yeah, so you can actually scroll through and they have it broken down into like text formatting, paragraph with objects, editing, etc.
What I really like about this keyboard shortcut, the command with the forward slash, is that in every single Google app that you go into, you get different options because there are some keyboard shortcuts that are really specific to those particular apps. So the ones you listed off are the ones for Google Docs, but if you did the same thing when you went into Google Slides, you get different things. So you get film strip with objects, selection, text formatting. So there's some of the same, but then there's also some that are really specific.
So, and that comes down to what you're using. So if you are using Google Docs, I mean, just take a look and see if there's anything there that's helpful. Or if you're using slides a lot, do the same.
There's also a million more options available in Google Sheets, but I think we're not going to go there this week because we do eventually want to do an episode on Google Sheets.
Yes. We laugh because that was actually supposed to be this morning's recording, but it's been a bit of a rough week. And so we both came on this morning and we're like, so Sheets, eh? And so, as always, we decided to shift our Google Sheets to a different day.
Yeah. And then just as a joke, we always keep all of our show notes in different folders. So our folder for this week is called Not Google Sheets.
Yes.
Which is why you're getting keyboard shortcuts.
Yes.
Anyway, we're digressing a lot now.
Here we go. So it's worth sharing some of the ones that we find, I guess, particularly helpful in the Google workspace. So to start, which one should we start with? I don't even know.
Well, I think a good place for us to start is actually in Chrome and not in Google Workspace, because in Chrome, if you press either Command T or Command Shift T, that will get you either a new tab or it'll open up the last tab that you had opened.
And this one I actually have started to use more regularly, and I'm so much less frustrated by the amount of time it takes to load, because as soon as I hit that Command T, it's opening that tab. It's loading things up, and I don't have to worry about moving my cursor, especially if I'm, you know, multiple screens, etc.
Yeah, definitely super useful for the multiple screens, especially. So it's a big time saver. Anywhere where you can not be moving your mouse and clicking is not only going to save you time, it's also going to save your wrists.
Yeah.
And that's been on my mind a lot lately because I've had a lot of wrist pain. Yeah, I really like the Command Shift T though, because that one opens up the last tab that you previously closed. So it's great for if for some reason with your mouse, you've clicked on the X and you didn't mean to, and you're like, oh no, I need that doc or sheet or whatever again. That keyboard shortcut is super quick. It's also a great one if you want to see what students were working on last.
You may not want to, but it's a good way if you know that your students have been, you know, a little bit distracted and you're not quite sure what they've been working on. You could get them to do that as well.
That's kind of a favorite one that I kind of like to tell my students. You know, at some point during the semester, they'll be like, oh no, I closed that doc or whatever. Can you share the link again? And I'll be like, oh, you don't need that. You just Command Shift T or Control Shift T and it'll reopen up your last tab. And then usually that's enough to kind of squash any of those. Well, maybe I shouldn't have that tab open. So they're like, uh-oh, Dr. Johnson knows how to do that.
Another shortcut that I always use, and I'm so glad that I know it, is Command K.
Oh my goodness, I love this one.
Command K allows you to insert a hyperlink. So if there's a word or phrase that you want to hyperlink to a different website or a document, etc., you're going to highlight it, click Command K or Control K, and then copy and paste in your website or link.
I love this hyperlink one. It actually works in quite a few other applications. It's not specific to Google. A lot of other apps also use it. So for example, whenever I add a link into our show notes on Buzzsprout, it works. Occasionally it works in Brightspace too. And I say occasionally because it doesn't always work. It's weird in terms of what Brightspace can do with keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah, I don't understand. And there's got to be a method to it and a reason why, but you're right. Sometimes I try and it's like, no, thank you. And I'm like, oh. So then I have to do like the multiple clicks in order to get one. But
yeah, I think if Brightspace really wanted to improve their platform, they'd put a lot more effort into keyboard shortcuts because it is a lot of clicks.
Yes, that program was not built for efficiency.
Anyway, we're digressing again. We won't go down that rabbit hole because you guys all know how we feel.
So the next one is my favorite, and it's probably the one that I use the most often, especially when I'm writing my schnotes. Oh, sorry, my show notes. And yes, we've created a term in my family for when I am doing my show notes. And yeah. So it's Command Option Shift 4 on a Mac. And what this does, it will change your cursor into, I guess, a plus symbol. And then you can click and drag to create a screenshot of whatever it is that you've highlighted with that cursor or box that is created. It will then copy it directly to your clipboard. And then all you need to do is paste it. So you paste it wherever you need to track that information. So this one I use a lot, and it's probably by far my favorite. And there is a Windows shortcut because it's not totally obvious as to what it would be. The Windows key, Shift S. That will do the same thing. So you can drag over the content that you want in a screenshot, and it will also copy it directly to a clipboard.
So if you do just Command Shift 4, it'll bring up the same thing. It'll bring up the crosshairs. You can drag over a section to take a screenshot, and then it saves that screenshot as an image on your desktop on a Mac. And then that messes up my desktop, and yeah, so I end up having to go through and delete and organize and everything. I need to start adding the option in there.
Yes, you do. Like time efficiency. Like there's no need to upload an image. There's no need to do anything.
I've been using it a little bit more often, but I keep forgetting about that one.
Yeah, no, that's by far my favorite, I think. Well, between Control K and that one.
So I guess if we keep kind of going down the road of more sort of general keyboard shortcuts, another one that I really, really love is and use quite often is Command F or Control F on a PC. And that's to find something within a document.
This is great, especially if you have like a massive document and you're looking for a specific term or section of it. You can kind of type in a term and it will show you all of the different times that it shows up in that document.
Yeah, and then you can just navigate between all the different options there as well. Now, one that we didn't really know, but I think kind of goes along with this, is as we were scrolling through some of those main menus, we came across this one, and it's for Find and Replace. And I think this is really useful. So on a Mac, it's Command-Shift-H. On a PC, it's Control-Shift-H. And I've done Find and Replace before quite a bit, and man, it is helpful. If you are trying to, say, change a whole bunch of titles in a set of Google Slides, and you realize you wrote the word, I don't know, Jamboard, and you wanted to write just Jam instead, you could find and replace all the words Jamboard and replace it with the word Jam in one click.
So much easier.
That one came in really handy because I created all the slides for our virtual commencement last year. And for the school that we're at, that is huge, right? Any sort of grade level, there's about roughly 500 kids, give or take. So that slideshow was enormous. And then after I had generated all the slides, we did it through some different scripts that we had that we ran. But after I generated all the slides, someone was like, oh, we need to change this wording to this. And I'm like, oh, no. So instead of clicking through every single slide and changing it, I just used the find and replace. And oh, my God, it was miraculous.
Yeah, that would have been a monster otherwise.
Definitely. I guess the next ones kind of go along with that too, right? If you do that find and replace and go, uh-oh, I didn't mean to do that, Command Z or Control Z are your best friends.
I do that often, or I tell students, Command Z, go back, undo. And so that's a really handy one to remember. And then one that I didn't actually know, but I kind of like, is Command Y, redo. So that was kind of neat too.
Yeah. So to undo or redo using those two are really quick.
The next one is also great for when you're marking in Google Docs, etc., and you want to add comments. So instead of having to, you know, click on the comment symbol, etc., you can actually just highlight the text and do Command Option M and add a comment.
Yeah, that one's great for adding really quick comments. I find that one super useful, especially in Google Slides, because highlighting something and adding a comment in Google Slides, like you do have to go up and click up at the top on the comments, which I find super, super annoying. So having that keyboard shortcut there and then just typing in your comments is very helpful. I also think it's really neat because then if you've got something like Moat installed, you can just do a quick audio comment.
Yeah.
You're not even typing then, you're just talking and talking out your comments. So I think having that kind of combination is really, really cool, especially for feedback for students.
Yes. So the next one I'm going to let you talk about because I'm not very mathy or sciencey.
I think this one, especially for the science and math teachers out there, especially chemistry teachers, typing out chemical formulas is super, super annoying as a chemistry teacher. So knowing the shortcuts to do superscripts and subscripts is going to save you, honestly, so much time. So to do a superscript, it's command with the period. And to do subscript, it's command with the comma. And so that just even as you're typing out, and you're typing out your chemical formulas, it is still kind of annoying, right? You have to do the command period or command comma, but I think it's still quicker than highlighting it, right-clicking it, changing the format. Like, I don't even know how to do that because I don't even do that anymore. I always do these shortcuts instead.
Yes. And just a quick note, in order to exit the sub or superscript, you do have to click on that again. So click to begin and then type whatever you need and then do the command period or comma to exit that as well.
They are a little bit more annoying, but I think it's still quicker than taking your mouse, highlighting it. Yeah, so you can't even right click it to change it. You would have to highlight it. You'd have to go up to format, text, and then go into subscript or superscript from there. So that's a lot of movement with your mouse that really, like, you don't want to do.
No.
So if you are a math or a science teacher out there, commit those two to memory. Honestly, they're going to save you so much time. And show your students. Every time I show students this, they are absolutely amazed by these two keyboard shortcuts. And they're like, I did not know you could do that. And they're grade 11 or grade 12 students.
Yeah, no, these are great to know, especially with like lab reports and all the rest. Like, why not make it easy?
It's kind of funny because actually it's not funny. Honestly, I feel like it's a little bit sad that they're coming to me in grade 11 or grade 12 and they don't know these two keyboard shortcuts and they're taking heavy, heavy science courses and planning to go into a science kind of field. It's kind of scary.
But to be honest with you, I wonder how many like teachers are aware as well.
I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So our next kind of category that we thought we'd go over are like the simple formatting or helpful formatting ones that we think would be good to know. Most of them you probably know, at least some of them for sure. Yeah, no, these are definitely helpful to kind of save some time and make yourself more efficient in your work.
I don't think we really want to go through all the kind of basic ones because hopefully you know them, right? But you could take a look at any of them using your command with your forward slash. So things for bolding, italicizing, underlining, like those are probably very, very common.
Same with like Control X and Control C and Control V or command, whatever the case may be. But one that I don't use very often is Command Shift V.
I love this one. I would say that this one, along with the one to add hyperlinks, are two of the biggest ones that I use all the time. So Command Shift V not only pastes what you've copied, but it will paste it in and match the formatting.
So will it match the formatting of whatever document you're putting it into?
Yeah, it will. So if you've changed the fonts on your Google Doc or your Google Slides or whatever, and you're pasting something in, it will take whatever font, whatever size, and it will match that particular font and size as you're pasting it in. So if you're copying something from something that has different fonts and putting it into a doc, that's going to save you some time because then you don't have to worry about formatting it to match.
So perhaps I should have known this one because I've been copying and pasting a Google Classroom code because we created a classroom for extra literacy practice for the OSSLT. And so when I copy the code and paste it, it keeps the formatting that was in Google Classroom. So I would have saved myself a lot of time if I'd remembered or known the Command Shift V. So thank you.
I'm kind of on the fence about whether you tell students this one or not. And you want to know the reason why?
Because you can always tell if it's plagiarized if they don't know that one.
Exactly, right? So if they don't know that keyboard shortcut and they're copying and pasting stuff in from a website into a Google Doc especially, usually it copies over with the background and you can see the background. It is glaring in terms of the fact that they've plagiarized. So I don't know. I'm always kind of on the fence on whether I want to show my students that one or not.
So the next two are helpful for starting a bulleted or numbered list. And to do that, you are going to type Command Shift 8 or Command Shift 7. Command Shift 8 will be your bulleted list, and Command Shift 7 will start a numbered list.
These ones are completely my favorites. I really love especially the Command Shift 8. I would say that is my number 3 in terms of the ones that I use on a daily basis after the ones for hyperlinks and copying and pasting and matching the formatting. I love this one. And the way that I remember this particular keyboard shortcut is the number 8. If you look at the top and the bottom half of the 8, they look like little bullets.
That's a neat way to remember.
I tend to forget the numbered list one, but I guess in my brain, I need to remember that it's just the one before the bullets. And that kind of matches what it looks like on the menu bar up at the top too.
Yeah, because the numbered is always before the bulleted. So yeah, good way to remember.
Now, in terms of using it, you do Command Shift 8 to start a bulleted list. And then to get out of the bulleted list, you can also press that one again. So you would have to do Command Shift 8 and it's going to bring you back to a regular paragraph.
You could also just double enter.
You could also double enter as well. Depends on what you're doing.
So next we have some neat ones that we think are helpful for Google Slides or Google Drawings, specific to these two apps or tools.
Yeah, so these are all like drawing tools in terms of creating shapes and images and layering them on top of each other and doing all of that kind of editing work. I think a lot of those will save you quite a bit of time. The first sort of set we've got are the ones that will send an object forwards or backwards in your design. So if you want to send something one step forwards, it would be Command with the up arrow. If you want to send it one step backwards, Command with the down arrow. And if you want to send it completely to the back or completely to the front, for the front, you would do Command and then add in the shift with the arrow up. And then sending it completely to the back would be Command Shift and arrow down.
So this will save you time because then you're not right-clicking, order, and then choosing your option. It's just a little bit faster. So this is when you're layering a whole bunch of different elements on a slide or in a drawing.
Yeah, especially if you want to layer it and you don't know how many steps you need to go back. I think these are really, really useful, especially the Command arrow up or arrow down. You can just continuously like hold down the Command key and go arrow up, 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 up until you get it to where you want it to go. Whereas if you were mimicking that with your mouse, you would have to click, 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 click. Like you'd have to click on it, right click on it, go into that option, and then do that again and again and again. What a time suck.
Yes. So the next two we have, I find I use this particularly in slides when I change my dimensions. So if I change it to 8.5 by 11 for like a handout or whatever, it's really obnoxious to be able to zoom in and out using the zoom feature that they have there. So instead, to zoom in, you can click on Command Option Plus or zoom out Command Option Minus. And that will just help because then your cursor isn't stuck in the magnification setting. And so as you continue to click, it's really annoying. So you don't have to click out of it, so to speak. Yeah, no, I like this one.
Yeah, that one's pretty neat. I don't really use it, and I should, because holy smokes, that's going to save a lot of time. So I'm going to commit that one to memory and start trying to use that one a little bit more. It makes so much sense. Now, to kind of go along with the command arrow up, arrow down, like sending things forward and backwards, I think another one that's really helpful, or the next couple, would be if you're in, say, slides and you selected a shape, to select the next shape, you just have to hit the tab key. Or if you want to go back and select the previous shape, you're going to click on the shift and the tab key. And so I think these ones are really important in terms of layering because sometimes you can't click on the thing that's behind something else. So to get to it, you're just going to continuously hit the tab key until that thing has been selected, and then you could maybe bring it forward or bring it backwards. So I think those ones really work nicely in conjunction with each other.
Definitely. And I just want to confirm, will this also work for text boxes? So can you toggle between it? Yes, you can. So it's anything that's on there. It could be a title, text box, of multiple shapes, images. It just helps you easily toggle between whatever is on that slide.
Yeah, I would say with text boxes, though, make sure you've selected the box itself and your cursor is not inside where you would be typing your text. Because if it is, it's just going to add a tab into your text itself, yes. which yeah. is not helpful. So you're just going to want to click on the outside of that text box and then hit tab. And yeah, it's going to tab between the various different elements that you've placed on your slide or your drawing. That one is so cool. I never think to use it. And wow, that's great.
And that one's good to know because sometimes they're so close and it's hard to click on the right one because they overlap so much. So that one's helpful for sure.
I've actually seen this one before from Tony Vincent. I've gone to a couple of his different sort of sessions at different conferences. Wow, he is amazing in terms of doing stuff with Google Drawings. So he's the creator of Shapegrams. If you haven't heard of Shapegrams, we'll include a link in our show notes to that. But my son is obsessed with them because his teacher keeps assigning them for different art kind of pieces that they're doing in class. And then they pair that with creative writing. Like they'll do a Shapegram and then they'll do a writing piece to go along with it, which is actually kind of a really neat sort of use of Shapegrams, I think, in the classroom. But yeah, he does a lot of these kind of keyboard shortcuts in there.
Nice.
I love them. I actually want to go and steal all my son's Shapegrams and try them out myself. And then I guess the last sort of piece that goes along with that formatting is a shift and click. So if you're trying to move multiple different objects on your slide and you want them all to kind of move together because you want to keep them together, you can shift and click multiple different things and that will select them all. And then you can move them or send them forwards or backwards or whatever you're doing in terms of formatting.
Yeah, it also helps if you want to group them. So that's a kind of a good way to easily select them all so you can group them.
Yeah, so I guess we should talk about what the keyboard shortcut is for grouping then as well, because that one is handy. So once you've selected multiple objects, instead of right-clicking on it and going to group, you could just do Command-Option-G, and that will group them for you as well. So again, that could save you some time. And then if you need to ungroup them, it's Command-Option-Shift-G. So you're adding that shift key in there just to get the ungroup.
And then because we can't go an episode without talking about Screencastify... We thought we would share some of like the most helpful Screencastify keyboard shortcuts, because when you are recording, you don't always want to have a panicky cursor rolling around your screen trying to find the button. And so what I typically do is I'll either write them out if I haven't yet memorized them, or I'll even print out a list and then have it kind of handy while I'm recording. And then that way you can quickly pause or use a different tool, get the focus for the spotlight, like on the mouse. Those types of things without having to see a cursor running across your screen. I find that it derails me. I don't know about you, but when I'm recording and I'm like, I need to get that thing quickly because my cursor is so annoying. It really derailed me when I was recording.
They are super helpful. We're looking at a list. We took a screenshot of all of the different keyboard shortcuts. There aren't many in Screencastify, which is kind of nice because then that helps you remember the most important ones to you. So Katie, out of this list, which one is your favorite?
The start and the pause. Not even the start. I guess it's mostly to use it for stop. But the pause to me is extremely important because if I can sense myself getting panicky or forgetting a word, I'll quickly hit the Option Shift P or Alt Shift P if you're on a PC, and then it will pause it. And that is a wonderful thing. And then hit it again to restart. So to me, that one is the most helpful because I need to be able to take a breath or kind of remember kind of where I'm going along this video. I am not a natural actor or voice recorder or whatever you want to call it. I'm very much an introvert. So when I do these Screencastifies, it's not so easy for me. I'm putting myself out there and not totally comfortable. But it's funny because I love it. So go figure. So this one helps me a lot.
I would have to say out of this list, the one that I really, really like is the show and hide the annotation toolbar, because I find that that is super distracting when you're dragging your mouse and closing it. And then once you've closed the toolbar, how do you get it back?
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Yeah. So that one is, if you're on a Mac, it's Option T. And if you're on a PC or Chromebook, it's Alt T. And so that's really nice. You can toggle on or off the toolbar really, really quickly without having to move your mouse at all.
Yeah.
Now, we do have a blog post that goes over how you can actually customize some of these keyboard shortcuts as well in Screencastify. So we'll make sure to include that in our show notes for you as well. There aren't too many that you can customize, but there are a few if they don't make sense to you.
Yes. So what I would say is try them out based on where they're located on your keyboard. And, you know, if you're finding it's really uncomfortable and something else would work better for you, then just go ahead and customize the ones that you're able to.
Now, I have one more kind of bonus feature that we didn't put on our list of notes here. I kind of want to jump back to Google because this could be super helpful, especially when you're typing out comments and stuff and you want to do it very quickly and efficiently. So in a Google Doc, for example, if you go to your tools and then go to preferences and you click on the substitutions tab, this is where you have all the replace whatever text you've typed with something else. So it's got your typical things like if you put a C in brackets, it will replace it with the copyright symbol. Or if you do two lines with a greater than sign, it'll replace it with an arrow. So those are really handy in terms of typing stuff out and quickly adding in symbols. But the beauty here is you can add your own. So you can add in ones where, say, you're constantly typing out a comment about spelling. Instead of writing out the word spelling, maybe you put in SP and then you could replace it with spelling in there.
Ah.
So it's not a keyboard shortcut per se, but it's adding in some substitutions that can help you type out these big, long kind of comments. And then you can toggle it on or off. So say there's one that you always type in. And I forget one that they do quite often, but it drives me nuts. Then you can get rid of it on here as well. You can do that in most of the Google tools, and you can add in some of those different substitutions.
Nice. I like that. It makes marking a lot quicker.
It would, and it's not really a keyboard shortcut per se, but it does kind of fit within this category of saving time and having to do less keystrokes, I guess.
Which if you have, you know, some pretty big classes, that's definitely something you are going to be wanting to do.
I think that then wraps up our conversation about keyboard shortcuts that we find really, really handy and really useful. What we'll do is we'll include all of the links and resources, and Katie's going to make some amazing screenshots with her favorite keyboard shortcut.
Better believe it.
And we'll put those in our show notes. So you can access our show notes for this episode at edugals.com/44. That's edugals.com/44.
And if you think a colleague or friend could benefit from this episode, then feel free to share. Make sure that you also subscribe on your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss out on any future content.
And if you have any keyboard shortcuts that we haven't talked about today that you really, really love, we would love to hear it. So go on to our Flipgrid at edugals.com/flipgrid, or you can leave us a note on our website at edugals.com.
Thanks for listening and see you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of our EduGals podcast. Show notes for this episode are available at edugals.com. That's edugals.com. We'd also love to hear your feedback, so leave us a message on our website.
And if you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe and consider leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, keep being awesome and try something new.